Nobel Prize winner Luigi Pirandello's Naked is a new version by Nicholas Wright. It's currently running on the Larry Weber stage at the Berkshire Theater Group's Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The play delves deep into the struggle of self-identity and the tendency to skew reality to benefit desires of the heart. Directed for BTG by Eric Hill, Naked follows the story of a woman in the midst of questioning her existence as the men around her impose their view of her into the world. Eric Hill joins us this morning along with actors Tara Franklin and James Berry, and it is a pleasure to welcome this trio to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Joe? Thank
I'm
you
fine.
For having us.
What a wonderful treat to have you all here. Thank
Great
you.
To be here. Thanks, Joe.
Thank well, you. Thank you. All right. Well, Eric, you're up first. Tell us about Naked and how you came to this particular play of wanting to put it on the stage at the Unicorn.
Well, as usual, I relied upon Kate McGuire, the artistic director who selected the play.
She's also your wife.
Who's also my wife. So when she hands me a play and says, "Do you want to do this?" the answer to the question comes with the question. Which
well, but you say, but the question is, "Do you want to do this?"
Yes.
Still comes down for a decision that you have to make.
And I did want to do it very much. I love Pirandello. And this play, obviously, well, if you know the play and when you come and see it, you will understand that it has landed timing-wise at the absolute perfect time. What we're experiencing with Judge Kavanaugh and all of that is very much reflected in the themes and the discussions that you hear in the play.
So that seems like a bummer.
Actually, the great part. Well, you know, if you add it all up, yes, it's a bummer. But in its elemental parts, I think what we understand is that first of all, it was written at the beginning of the previous century, 1926. It's a play about 1922 in Italy. So there is some distance on the subject, and certainly. The amazing part about the play is how relevant it is to today and how right on Mr. Pirandello is in his observations. But he does take an interesting form, which is the melodrama, something a lot of people aren't familiar with, and he uses that form to tell his story. So there's a lot of entertainment value to what he does here. There's a mystery involved. It's a play that takes a lot of wild turns, some comedic. So there's a great mix in the process, and then he does have a tendency to as he is wont to do, reverse reality on you and begin to show you the other side of a situation you may have looked at one way, and then you begin to look at it from another angle.
So before I turn the conversation to the two fine actors in the studio, give me a sense of what the challenges are of directing such a work.
Well, such a work is written in Italian, first of all, and so you're dealing with a text that's not in English. Literal translations of these plays exist, but one of the reasons they're so rarely produced, Pirandello's not produced so frequently, is that the literal translations are hardly theatrical. This is an adaptation by Nicholas Wright, and so he really helps me with my hardest chore, which is to bring the English idiom to bear on a text that is essentially Italian in heart. So that challenge, I think, is something that we've met and come to understand, and that was a hurdle we had to cross.
And then, real quick, before we go to the actors, just tell us a little bit about the cast overall, in the sense of the characters that they play, and how mm-hmm. these two fit in.
Yeah, the play is a mystery that centers around a woman, Ursilia, played by Tara Franklin, and how she has been manipulated by the men in her life, of which there are three particular: an author whose home she has sought out as refuge, a young lieutenant who she had briefly courted in. A foreign country where she also had an affair with the ambassador there. And she has now come to Rome from this place, Smyrna, to this retreat in order to try to regain her life. And her past follows her there, as do these three men. And James plays the lieutenant, one of the young man who had a relationship with her before.
So, Tara, tell us about this role and what some of the challenges are for you in playing it.
Wow. Well, I think that what James and I actually have talked about quite a bit is how exhausted we are. The amount of energy needed to create this piece kind of took me off guard at first. I mean, I think because 20 years ago, I probably could have been like, yeah, let's keep going, let's do this. And now I'm older, and I'm finding my body is harder to, you know, to get up to those places. But I think what has been so delightful in this process is first of all, getting to work with Eric again, which is always such a treat, and now getting to work with James, which never happens because we often have to flip-flop our jobs. So aside from, yes, the extreme amount of energy that we have to use to create this, it's just been, it's been such a joy. And I think, for me, one of the biggest challenges in my career, and so I enjoy that.
And James, for you.
Hey, Joe. Well, you know, as Eric was saying before, how topically relevant the play is, it's devastating to me why. But I take great pride, and I think the entire company takes great pride in presenting a play, though written a century ago, is going to spark an awful lot of conversation on the car drives home. And the particular role I play is also, it requires a tremendous amount of energy, but it may seem over the top, some of the melodramatic style, but the way I see certain men behaving on television, I don't really think I'm that over the top at all.
So true.
You know, and again, to
step up your game.
That's right. That's right. Buckle up, everybody. So, you know, Eric has been a theatrical
mentor.
Do
you like beer?
Still do. Still like it.
I like it.
So, you know, Eric has been a theater mentor for both Tara and myself for, you know, the last 20 years. So to get to work with him again in this capacity is just a real treat and a real gift. And Tara and I, again, you know, we have a 7-year-old son. Life wasn't hard enough grinding it out in regional theater. We just got two small dogs. So being on the same schedule is insane. But we're making it work. And the conversations that it's sparked on our car drives home are also amazing. So, you know, the way the play has caused me to look inward and outward is, I mean, that's the beauty of working on art like this. 100 years later, the themes are just as potent, if not more so, than ever.
So in a perfect world, and this question will be for all three of you, but I'll begin with Eric. But in a perfect world, if you had your wish, what kind of conversation do you hope people are having on the car ride home? Like, what do you hope the conversation starts with?
Well, you know, that's a very, very good question, and it also is a very hard question because one of the things I try to stick to as the director, I don't necessarily know what thoughts people are coming into the theater with, and it would be futile for me to go down the rabbit hole of trying to wonder what they might be thinking about on the way home.
Just know that they love you and the work that you do.
Well, the only thing I can have...
Just use that.
Well, the only thing as a director I can gauge is what they do when they're in the theater. And so my reaction to what they are thinking comes from how they respond when the play is actually going on. I would like to think that what we understand is that the way that women become victimized is much more subtle and much more pervasive and much more of an entire climate and atmosphere than just the kind of singular incidents that we are being given on the news today. It's a whole comprehensive world that a woman has to live in, and a way that a woman must fight day in, day out to gain a sense of her own identity when men are busy trying to fulfill their own goal for identity by taking advantage of her. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is what I hope people are talking about.
Tara.
Yeah, I think that Eric said it. I'm going to piggyback on that. You know, we had an interview a few weeks ago, and what's happening, you know, is there's great transition in this play.
You're seeing other interviewers.
I am.
So sorry, Joe.
We had to.
But this one was before we opened.
James didn't. So if you want to just talk to James, that's fine.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
She has this problem with seeing other men. You see, this is the problem.
Like, I keep getting manipulated by them. I think that the big thing about this is that, and we learned this as actors through this process, is that this is a train that once it's out of the station, and Eric uses this metaphor quite a bit, is that you don't get off this train. This is, it's right. Just a ride. And I think that we've had seven audiences at this point. And it's always exciting after intermission to see all the seats still filled. Because honestly, like, it's a crazy train. And I think that, and what's just, it's exciting because we're keeping them on the train, which I think I wasn't worried about, but this is a different style than I've ever approached before. And it's a different kind of character than I've ever approached before. And just to see people still with us on that ride is really exciting. And I don't know what they talk about after. I don't know if they talk about it. I know we talk about it every night on the way home. We drive to Williamstown every night after the show. And it's an hour of just like, wow, what just happened? And,
right.
You know, because it goes so fast.
Have you had a talk back yet?
We haven't, I think.
Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, that'll be
tomorrow.
Interesting.
That'll
be tomorrow.
That ought to be interesting.
Thursdays are days we're skipping these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, it's Thursday.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Are you really looking forward to that? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about talk backs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I actually like them.
Love them? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you, Joe.
Well, I just, you know, I've seen.
I have
some...
a reason for being with you, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I don't know what your reason is. All I know is that I've seen just incredible work, and then you see the creative people on stage, and the audience who obviously hasn't gotten it, just do weird, say strange, mm-hmm. weird things, mm-hmm. and you see the frustration on everybody's face, and you just see the air come out of the room, and I feel horrible for everybody involved.
Well, you're correct.
Have fun Thursday night.
Well, it certainly happens.
Which is why I go to these talkbacks as the director, because I'm exposing the actors in a way by having them out there. Anybody who stays can say anything they want. And I don't think they understand that sometimes saying some things to actors is not a great idea. So I jump in and intervene. That said, I think most playwrights would agree, and I know there's one American playwright who will not allow you to have a talk back after one of his productions.
Oh, who?
David Mamet.
Oh, good.
And the reason, not that I'm a fan of David Mamet's thinking all the time.
No, but good for him.
But he's right. He wants the audience to go away and think about it and not just, you know, come out with the first reaction that they have after the play. Let it settle. Let it sit. Think it through. And I agree with that.
Yeah. But you're okay with that. That's good.
Well, for... You know, every sort of...
Let me rephrase the question, which is, considering I asked a specific question, and then by the time it got to you, it sort of devolved. So let me reframe the question,
I'm pretty low rent, Joe. It's fine.
But by the time, what do you learn from it? I assume you learn something from it, that it is... You can have all these conversations in the car going back and forth to Williamstown,
yeah.
But then to see how the audience reacts to it, that does have to be interesting.
It is interesting, and I think that for all the unfortunate commentary or people who just like to hear themselves talk, which is going to happen anytime, and that's okay. I'm a patient person.
I got a show.
Listen, man, it's great. but, you know, you'll get a couple people who it has resonated with in a profound way. And sometimes they will sum up their experience or an aspect of what they've seen, and all of a sudden there'll be sort of a collective from the rest of the people who've stayed after. And those moments are always great, and they happen at BTG plays, and they happen at most theaters I work that have a regular sort of series like this. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in this slot, you know, we've got a pretty smart crowd coming out to see us. And
absolutely.
I think that they're invested in that's challenging
sure.
material.
That's
yeah.
true.
Pirandello's Naked, in a new version by Nicholas Wright, runs on the Larry Weber stage at Berkshire Theater Group's Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, through the 28th of October. BerkshireTheaterGroup.org for showtime and ticket information. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I thank you all for being here.
And it's lockbox time. Please give to this
yes.
regional treasure and help them out.
We
thank you
WAMC.
Very
we
much.
WAMC.
We really appreciate it. It's wamc.org if you want to help on the lockbox. WAMC.org. We do need the help. Every dollar we make now is less than we have to make during the actual fund drive, which begins October 15th, which just happens to be the middle of the run of Naked mm-hmm. at the Berkshire Theater Group. We can bring this all together.